Commander Peace here, and you're watching CMS TV.
Chris Akin Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Akin, and today on the show, we are going to go kind of old school, kind of new school, I guess. Well, definitely old school and certainly new school, now that I'm thinking about it. The band is Conquest. They've been a band. They've been out there since the 80s, if you can believe that, and they've been pretty consistent for most of the last 20 years putting out new music. They have a brand new release called Paradox. It kicks ass. I'm not sure what we call it, but we will find out what we're going to call it right now as we talk to the vocalist of the band, Mr. Derek Brumley. Derek, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you, man. Now, I know everybody can't say this, but I am an old school metalhead that certainly remembers the 80s days of you guys. You know, I was always that kid that while everybody was listening to Metallica or whatever, and I was too, but I was always looking for the stuff that people didn't know about.
Sure.
You know, and you guys certainly fell into that for me. So
awesome. So you've been familiar with the band for a couple of days now.
No, I'm not every other interview you're doing, dude. I really have known your stuff for a long time.
Much appreciation there, man. Much love.
Absolutely. Well, dude, let's before we get into Paradox, the new album, give us a little bit of, I don't want to go all the way back to the early 80s days, but let's go back to maybe like 2010. Because it seems like you guys really sort of fired this thing back up a little more full-time or somewhat full-time around that time. Talk about what brought you back in a time when it's really hard to sell metal.
So, you know, for me, music, metal's been my life since day one. Since I was 13 years old, for the most part, picked up a guitar and wrote a song called Conquest. And I wasn't a songwriter. I wasn't anything. Actually, I was just out with my buddy who ended up being the drummer in the band at the time. And we were best friends, and we were out having a little fun up at the schoolyard, came back home and wrote a song. Got me fast forward to 2010. Still the love of heavy metal and the art of writing music has always been my passion. So doing this kind of reflects that. So what I mean by that is 2010, you're basically speaking about the record that came out in 2009 through Dark Star, which is the label we're on right now, Dark Star Records, called The End of Days. And that record was very, very, lack of a better way of putting it for me, was like a comeback record. I felt like I reinvented myself without changing anything, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Rejuvenated. And we came out with a pretty strong record, and it did well for us in a time when heavy metal was pretty much a bad word. You know what I mean? Ironically enough, isn't it funny though, when you stop, not to get off the topic, but all us metalheads, all our lives were rebels, right? Growing up, that was the concept of rock and roll. Right. And then as you get into the, start progressing in age and all that, then they all get apolitical and they all want to be, they want to toe the line. It just blows my mind how that all turned out. But, so that record was kind of, The End of Days was kind of representing where my mind was at with society, and I've pretty much haven't lost that incentive to write about those type of things, hence the Paradox record.
Right on. Now let's dig into Paradox, man. First thing that jumped out at me before I even played a note of it, it's a lot of songs. You know,
it's a lot of songs in
today's world where bands are, you know, they think they've done something where they're releasing a 4-song EP with 2 covers on it. You guys did what? 16 tracks.
That's funny.
That is crazy in today's world.
Well, there is one cover. It's the last track on there.
Right.
Man on the Silver Mountain, Rainbow. The last few records, I've always tried to put something that was very, very inspirational to me and made me love music. And that track is one of them. So that's why it's there. I'm a huge Ronnie James Dio fan.
Sure.
I'm a huge Rainbow fan of his era. So for me, it just makes sense. And then the rest of the record, the 15 tracks, drummer was with me for better part of the Conquest run, man. Tim Fleetwood had to leave because of physical issues. He had medical issues he had to deal with. And I called a good friend of mine who I've known for many moons, many years, and he's a great drummer. And he said, man, I'd love to jump in and do it. And he did. And so we already had some songs written. And when he got in, the vibe, you know, intensified. We got this new vibe going and everything. And boy, it just, I don't know how to put it. It was like pouring milk on your cereal. It made it right. You know what I mean? So we wrote 15 songs and we did it. We did it fairly quick, but at the same time, changing drummers, Tim had already started tracking drums for the record. So all that had to be changed. All of it had to be gone through. So we just told ourselves, it was during the end of the COVID roll, that we don't care. Usually we're always pressed for time. We're getting older. We get the stuff out, blah, blah, blah. But we just said, let's just do it. Let's do it. Make it the best we can. Try to cover all of our bases. And again, I don't really write music anymore to try to make hits or go places. I write music for the love of heavy metal. So that's what happened. And then the band, man, if I could take a second, sure. I could just say, man, that Rob, Lee, Mike, you know, I can't make music on my own. I guess I could, but it wouldn't sound like this. And these guys just delivered, man. They just delivered. So it made the record really, really special for us.
Right on. Now, when you change drummers, especially, you know, you change that whole back end to the sound. And I know most laymen just are like, oh, well, you know, it's just another drummer. But it really does change more than a lot of people realize. You know, changing the rhythm section in general really can affect how a song, you know, sounds. Especially when you're in the writing phase, when you wrote with one guy and switched to another guy, did it change the songs? Like, did you find that you had to rework any of the music to
for sure
to kind of fit the new guy's swing?
For sure. So pros and cons, right? On both sides of that argument. Tim was a phenomenal drummer. Lee's a phenomenal drummer. So both with a little different. You know, one put nuts on the top of their ice cream, the other one put chocolate. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of way that laid out. Both inspired me in the writing, but I could say that this time around, working with Lee, I've made many records with Tim, so working with a new drummer, and Lee has his own ideas and is smart with them and brings cool ideas to the table. But we worked so well together. I mean, hell, I was playing air drums. He was mocking me. You know, we were just back and forth with the whole thing. It was like we were 16 again in a garage somewhere making music. And that was super cool to us. And I think it shows. I just do.
Is Lee more of like, I don't want to say a prog metal drummer, but is he more progressive in how he approaches? And the reason I'm asking is because, unlike past records, this release, Paradox, certainly has a little bit more musical diversity than some of your other stuff.
Well, I would say, so Tim and Lee both, you know, came out of the same area. We were thrash bands back then. We were, sure. You know, we were Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, you know, like everybody else, you know what I mean, in that idea. But I got to tell you, as I grow, Chris, as I get older, I have a love for all kinds of music. So what makes this record so diverse is you take a song like Babylon, right? Babylon America. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in my dining room in front of my keyboard. It was COVID time. Couldn't go anywhere. Nothing was open. And I sat down, and if you listen to that opening lyric and that opening part of that song, it was so solemn in my dining room there, and there was nothing going on, you know. So all that translated over. I don't, like I said, I used to worry about if people think, you know, well, Conquest was a thrash band. So I thought, you know, better part of the record should be thrash because that's what they expect. Right. But this record, we're making the record what we want it to be from top to bottom. If nobody buys it, nobody buys it. If everybody buys it, awesome. We love it. You know, so that's kind of the way we look at it.
Right. And it really, you know, is not a thrash record. It's much more of a traditional heavy metal record than anything that I've ever heard you guys do. It for me, it definitely does. It, I don't know if this is a good comparison or not. It's a good comparison in my ears. Kind of reminds me of like Anthrax going when they switched from Joey Belladonna to John Bush and it became more musical. Does that make sense?
It does. And yeah, no, I love where we're at right now. And I got to tell you, honestly, Chris, playing both sides of that argument, being blessed throughout my career, in my mindset, some people don't see it all that way, but I've got to play on stages with Iron Maiden. I got to be on stages with, Superjoint Ritual. You know, I mean, the Slayer, I opened for Slayer. I mean, so we've done it all from that gambit. But one of my favorite bands of all times is Sabotage.
Okay.
So when you get into that, you'll hear the piano logics and those things. I'm a very, I love melody. I'm all about guitar melodies. And so it was easy to do. To be honest with you, this record was probably one of the easiest records overall musically to put together. I had the right guys. Everything was, our spirits were high. We were all glad to do it. But because we had no boundaries, hence the record from 2003, right?
Right.
Because since there was no boundaries wrapped around us and what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, so-called, we took the gloves off, right?
Right.
And so this is what came out. And again, very proud of it. And I'm glad that you like it. That's for sure, Chris.
Well, dude, let me divert based on something that you just said, just because it jumped into my head. Three of those bands that you just named, Slayer, Superjoint, and Iron Maiden, those are arguably three of the hardest bands that have ever existed to open for. I mean, their crowds are not friendly much of the time. How did that go for you, man? Because that's daunting.
Oh, you're not kidding. So we played a place called... whatever it was called back in the day. It's the amphitheater in the St. Louis region, right? Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was called back then, Riverport or whatever. But anyway, so they call us to play on the Friday night. Now, we're a much heavier band than this, but they call us to play in front of Warrant, Rat, and LA Guns. So we open that show, and then they come and get us after we're all said done, say, hey, why don't you guys just leave your gear here and open the show tomorrow night? And, you know, the band's just losing themselves because to us, the next night is guess who? This is 2000. So the next night is Rob Halford on the Resurrection Tour, right?
Which right. is
phenomenal for me, right? And then you got Queensryche and then Iron Maiden. So I got to check the boxes on a lot of that right there. You know what I mean? All in one whack. That was super cool to us. So. I got to say, never had nobody heckle. It was a great night. That was just phenomenal. It was raining a little bit, and we're ending our set, and we always end with a favorite cover or something. And as far as the eye can see, you see people, and we're playing, I believe it was Creeping Death, and it was just a blast. So no regrets there, man. Totally awesome. Now, the one I was worried about, if we're being honest, Chris, not Superjoint, again, playing at a place called Pops in Sauget, Illinois. It's kind of like our home, if you would, our stomping grounds. We always do well there. But when we opened for Slayer at the Pageant, I was a bit concerned because I've been to many concerts, Slayer concerts, where the band's getting Slayered off the stage. You know what I mean? And so, yes, that was a worry of ours. No, not going to lie. We did good, had no problems. We played the five heaviest songs we've ever put together at that time frame. That was in 2004. Opening night, sold out. Very cool that we got to do it. Those are the memories, man. I know a lot of people worry about money, but I got to tell you, when you're sitting in that rocking chair and you're that old guy in that wheelchair, is money going to mean anything to you, or is that the memories going to mean something to you?
Right, yeah, nobody sits in the rocking chair going, oh, you're not going to believe it. I made $1,200 opening for Slayer. You know, nobody cares. All they care about is, you opened for Slayer. Tell me about that.
That's exactly right, 100%.
Dude, it's so funny you bring that up about Slayer, too. Man, I saw them. It was them and Pantera and Morbid Angel in 2001, I guess.
Hey, can you see me?
I cannot, but that's okay.
That's good.
But it was in 2001, and Static X just got booed right off the stage. And the funny thing about it was, in the middle of their set, they were getting heckled so bad that Wayne Static was like, "What, you guys don't like us?" And then it was just on, you know. It was the worst mistake he made, acknowledging that.
You know? Never do that. Just keep playing. Put your head down and pull them through it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, man, let's get back to Paradox, man. New record from Conquest. I like to talk usually about what is my favorite song on the record, and for me, this is an easy choice on this record. It'll be Celtic Mist.
Celtic Mist, right on. Yeah,
I love that. It's a little deeper in the record, which probably, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, they hear the first three and they pick one of those. I listen a bunch, and I like digging deeper because not just you guys, but for me, it seems like bands tend to put their favorite stuff a little deeper in the record because it's not as commercially viable or as friendly for the record company. It's where they really explore. So that's my take on Celtic Mist. What? Tell me about that song.
So that's a great tune, man. What I like about that song is it has a vibe of its own. Mm-hmm. And so Rob, the bass player, kind of was on his way over to Ireland, and was tinkering with that melody in his head, that little bass run up front. And he calls me, literally, he gets off the airport, off the airplane and says, "Hey man, I kind of wrote this cool little diddly," and he's reading these words to me. And I'm like, I like the title. I hear the melody, but the lyrics got to go.
Right.
And so he got back home. He played a little bass part for me. I kind of tracked it a little bit. I got my own studio, so I tracked that little bass part, and then I started working on it, and then next thing you know, Lee and Mike get involved, and we kind of, you know how the end of it's kind of like got a little, lack of a better way, put like a late 70s jam session on the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? When we were doing it, we're like, we always try not to write the same song over and over again, because to me, that's boring, so we're trying different drum feels and all that. All of a sudden, Lee does this tribal thing kind of on the drums. And, man, it just came to life with that. So, for me, Rob pretty much, you know, came to us with the idea and the feel with the bass guitar. I helped him out with the rest of the hooks and the lyrics and the melodies, obviously. And then, man, one of my favorite songs to play live.
Okay. Very cool. Now, when you guys do write, are you the main lyric writer, or does everybody contribute, or how does that work?
So I write, I give credit to my band, because I always believe this, that a lot of people take too much credit. I don't care who you are, Dave Mustaine, whomever, pick mm-hmm. your poison, right? I know you wrote that song, dude. I write all the songs, if we're being honest, right? But Rob came to me with that feeling and that title. And then I made it happen, right?
Right.
They're not composers. Ideals, Mike came to me with Love Amplified, with the little diddly on the front of that, dun, 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 the little guitar piece on the front of that. We started messing with that. We started laughing. We're like, it's a Van Halen song. You know what I mean? And so kind of how that goes. I write the lyrics or the melodies and usually come up with the concepts, but I'm always open. I'm not it's my way or no way. I'm definitely not that guy. Definitely not that guy. I want everybody's input, because I believe that when everybody is truly putting their heart into it, you get better music.
Right. Well, and they'll connect with it more because they're connected to it.
Let's give it for example. You called out, you could hear a little bit of the difference between Tim and Lee. Mm-hmm. So if I just hired a drummer, said, "Hey, I got these songs. Here's how they go. Put these headphones on. I want 4/4 one and three snare hits here, blah, 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 blah." Right. And they came over and they did that. Them songs would still be done, but it'd be so generic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean. Lee's got his staple all over that. And that's very important to me. Mike's got his staple over it. Rob, the bass playing, the melodies out of him are just phenomenal. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, dude, with this new record, what does that open for you as far as touring plans? Is it even an option these days with the crazy costs of everything?
Yeah, very big. So That's a very good question and a very big, I don't know, 100%. Okay. We're in election year.
Right.
Where everything falls apart.
Right.
So we do have some one-offs coming up, where we got, you know, like 6 or 7 shows currently booked, but, we are talking about some fall short runs and some early winter, mid-size runs. So, we're working on all that, but what we're doing right now is major press and to see how much noise we can make with the record so that, then we go out to play, you know, hopefully we can get on some good gigs to where it's worth our time. And again, it's so costly to tour. Right. So, you know, and a band of our magnitude, we're not getting, you know, 50 grand. So
sure. Well, you know. What would make more sense now? Would it make sense to do, I don't know, a 10-show Midwest tour of the States, or would it make more sense to do, and I'm talking financial more than just, you know, benefit of the band, but would 10 shows in the Midwest make more sense, or would 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon Wacken Festival, you know, slot make more sense for you guys?
Well, for us, you know, our goal is definitely the Wacken scenario. We've played the Midwest. We've played the East Coast. We've played the West. I mean, in 2020, coming off the World's Gone to Hell record, we just did the West Coast, right? We played, we played 7 dates, and it was a blast. We had fun. We nice packed rooms and all that, and then COVID hit.
Right.
And it just destroyed everything we were going to do. So I am all about the festival thing.
Okay.
I would love to, if you have any ways of making that happen, Chris, you send them my way.
If I had that kind of stroke, I probably wouldn't be doing interviews, but okay.
you send them my way, brother. You send them my way. But we're working on those things. And not being kids, we've all got responsibilities here to deal with a little bit.
Sure.
So it has to be the right thing for us. Again, knowing this, Chris, from my point of view, music is about the art of music. People have turned it into what's the right choice of words? Well, if it's not
commerce,
what's that?
Commerce.
Yeah, it's so much that you know. Yeah, we want to tour. Of course, we want to go play gigs. I mean, holy cow, it's what we do. It's who we are. But at the same time, it's not lucrative for Conquest to drive to Kentucky and play for $1,000.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I want to.
Right. But you don't want to come home and not have a house there anymore because you spent all your money either.
That's exactly right. So, you know, if we can get 5 dates in a row and we can pull off, you know, a little bit more money on that end and we go do it, I'm in. You know, if gas prices drop back down to $1.50 like they were 4 years ago, we're in.
Right.
But at $4.50 a gallon some places, man, it's like, whoa, you're not eating, Mike. It's your turn not to eat, Mike. That's what I mean? You know?
Here's 1 gas station burrito. Let's cut it into 4 pieces.
That's right. That's right. Don't you dare eat my freaking Dorito either.
Exactly.
Nice. You know? So, but yeah, we would love to do the big festival, you know, any of the festivals. And get back out there and do, you know, back in the day, we did all the stuff around town. We did the Sun and Steel in Florida. We did Milwaukee Metal Fest. We did the whatever one is up there in Buffalo all the time. I can't remember that one. But we did them. Mm-hmm. And it was, and you could do it and on low dollar money because, again, gas was cheap, but it's tough these days.
Right.
Not to mention a hotel room. Have you rented one of those lately?
Yeah, they're not cheap either. Nothing's cheap now. Nothing.
Find that hotel room that you can actually sleep in that costs $75. Show me.
Yeah, there's none of that anymore. It starts at $150 for a Motel 6 or whatever.
Right, so, something that and then we got, you know, six guys on the road and that's brutal. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Nice. Well, dude, the new album is fantastic. It's called Paradox. The band is Conquest. And, Derek, where should we tell people to go to keep up with you guys and to actually buy something? And I'm not going to say stream. I mean, actually buy a record, a CD, merch, whatever. Where should we tell people to go?
I appreciate that a whole lot. So conquestmetal.com. And if you go there and you're truly concerned, everything that you just asked me, you can get there.
Okay.
100%. Conquest.com. But if you need to go somewhere and you're, you know, blah, 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 you can always order it through Walmart, through Amazon, through anywhere, Tower Record. Everybody has the record. It's not going to be sitting there on the shelf next to the brand new Kerry King record. You know that, because
right.
It's not. But you walk up, you say, hey, dude, you got the Conquest Paradox record? He'll have it next Friday. You know what I'm right. saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's on two vinyls, just so you know,
okay.
Because obviously 16 tracks, you can't put on one vinyl.
Right.
So it's two vinyls, and we did two different variations of the art. We really went all out, man. Again, I tried to be a little kid about it and remember what made me love music. And wasn't that cool back in the day when you went and bought a record and you opened it up, pulled the sleeve out and read the lyrics and saw a cool picture like that image you got of us behind you.
Right.
I can see you. You know, that's a poster that went out into the pre-sale, and that's a decent sized poster. And I really want. So the record company, you know, stepped up, man. We're doing good.
Very loving good, it. Man. Well, one more time, the album is called Paradox. The band is Conquest. And Derek, thanks so much for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
My pleasure, Chris. Thanks for having me, my friend.
The Classic Metal Show and Chris Aiken Presents are proud to call Rumble our official video platform. No more being censored by fucking YouTube and other big tech platforms. All segments of The Classic Metal Show and Chris Aiken Presents are available now on our Rumble channel. Follow our channel at www.rumble.com/c/CMS. Want it on your TV? Just install the Rumble app on your Roku, Amazon, Apple devices, and most smart TVs. We have the other shitty platforms for the lazy people, but why watch it censored when you can see our shows the way they were meant to be presented? Subscribe at www.rumble.com/c/CMS or search The Classic Metal Show on the Rumble app. Let's go!